to show success.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, where you can go in and you can check out our amazing products from Fabulous Truthers and various other people around the world who have decided to do a little bit of sponsorship with us, and hopefully you'll enjoy their great products, including, what's this called? Thyroid Protect, because, you know, if you don't protect your thyroid amidst all the radiation that's making its way around the world, thanks to the Japanese not doing a correct job when it comes to maintaining their nuclear reactors. Now, I would venture a guess, of course, that there might be a little bit of an of panic out there regarding this situation, which is totally justified. because basically, if you look at the situation, you look at what the people are saying, and you look at the radiation levels that are being detected, and then you look at the radiation levels that aren't even being reported on, something like 1,000, 1,600 times normal radiation levels, and it keeps piling up as well. That's the real problem, is that it's cumulative. For each and every day that passes, more and more radiation comes on down. So that's the real problem, is that not only is it bad now, but it's going to get worse. So, you know, protecting yourself seems like a bright idea at the best of times. Unlike what Barack H. O'Barry is doing, on the other hand, which is nothing. You can join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. If you know, if typing in that whole website is a little bit of a challenge for you, and I believe for some people it is, just Google Vinnie Eastwood, and yep, there's pretty much only one on the web. Conveniently enough, iniquity, people, iniquity. That's what I'm talking about. By the way, if there's anybody out there who's a Drupal programmer, it might be able to help us, because I'm not. And quite frankly, the Drupal website for Guerrilla Media looks pretty awful. Even though the articles and videos are really, really awesome, the site needs a little work. So if you could, please help us. Email producer at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Oi, thank you very much for listening. And we'll be right back after this short break with a little bit of news of the day. Back in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room there, or join us on Facebook. A lot of social networking going on in the truth movement, I can assure you. Speaking of things going on in the truth movement, oh, this is funny. You know when you read an article in the paper, it's kind of like the newspapers are now like the Bible or something, because every article you read, there's a contradiction somewhere else in the paper. For example, New Zealand avoids double dip recession. Yeah, I know. They skipped the double dip recession and went in for the Powerball mega depression. New Zealand's economy avoided a double dip recession as manufacturing bounced back in the December quarter and underpinned growth. The Kiwi dollar gained. Yeah, it's just because over the Christmas season, you know, generally people spend a little bit more money, even though they spent considerably less money than in previous years, according to a lot of sources. Now, gross domestic product grew 0.2% in the 3 months ended December 31st. Yeah, it's just like, look at this. They're touting basically an average, if that, Christmas shopping season as a reason for how the effing country got out of the recession, right? There is nothing going on here. This bugger all manufacturing or real wealth creation that goes on in this country. It's all freaking retail and tertiary employment, you know, a service industry. That's all it is. We're built to be services of other people, you know. It's like a nationwide prostitution brothel or something. And surely enough, everybody prostitutes themselves for something. speaking of prostituting themselves for something, this material is according to Statistics New Zealand. After 0.2% contraction in the third quarter, that beat a Reuters survey of economists, which was picking 0.1% growth, and annual GDP grew 1.5%. Now, I don't know about what all these numbers really mean. Okay, if anybody out there knows what GDP really means, you know, let me know, because for goodness sake, I have no clue. It doesn't make any sense to me. Because if you're going to measure a country by each, you know, person's gain, all kind of taken together, what does that leave open? You know, what other possibilities are there that won't be showing in your statistics? For example, just how much of the GDP is due to foreign banks in the country? You know, or selling off state assets. Something along these lines, which in general doesn't work out too well for you. But of course, like I said, the contradiction factor, another article from the same newspaper, Hallenstein profit dips on weak Glassons sales. So at the same time that they're saying, oh, well, the economy's great, we've gone out of this double dip recession and we've had a great Christmas season and that's going to pull us out of all our economic woes forever. And on the other page, it says, well, some of our large retailers are suffering quite enormously. Yeah. It's that funny in this country, man. I'm telling you. It's ridiculous. Hallenstein Glasson Holdings posted a 17% drop in first half profit, meeting the clothing retailer's guidance as intense competition for women's apparel forced it to cut prices to maintain sales. Oh, women's apparel. Oh, how much of consequence is this? Yes, there's absolutely nothing I'd like to discuss more than women's apparel. I don't mean that in a filthy way. I mean it in a disgusting way. Sales fell 1.7% to 100.6 million. All right. Well, they lost a fair amount of coin, right? But that's nothing compared to the economic impact of the Christchurch quake. I mean, have a look at this. Another article. nearly 100 staff to lose jobs at Hotel Grand Chancellor. It's the biggest pretty much building in the whole of freaking Christchurch. It moved like a meter or something during the quake and is sandwiched up against a parking structure, crushing it, kind of. Just sort of teetering there, enormous freaking building about new to collapse. And apparently they're going to have to demolition it. You know, well, like I say, maybe they should just set some small office fires in the top floors and then it'll surely collapse in on itself into dust in a few hours. You know, it'd be fantastic. I mean, mate, I don't know why demolition companies haven't been flying planes into buildings for years, you know? Far cheaper than employing an expensive rigging crew to, you know, put explosives and stuff all over them. Oh, it's not good, is it? But almost 100 employees at the badly quake-damaged Hotel Grand Chancellor in Christchurch are to lose their jobs. Many of the hotel staff have been found other positions elsewhere in New Zealand and Australia. However, 92 will be made redundant. Grand Hotels International Group General Manager Frank Delicicci. Frank Delicicci, man, that's a cool name, I've got to say. Told Radio New Zealand the employees were guaranteed a month's pay after the February 22nd quake, and those losing their jobs paid an additional notice period and redundancy pay. Oh, isn't that nice of them? I guess, you know, there's no winners in an earthquake situation, really, is there? Or any kind of massive disaster. It's always bad. Try to make light of it. Oh, that's not... That's, well, you have to be very ballsy. And what I find really funny is that the economy was, like, already in the crapper. Then you get hit with this earthquake. And, mate, I can understand some people's feeling of hopelessness. But apparently, that feeling of hopelessness doesn't extend to the people of Christchurch. The ones that have stayed anyway. Yeah, quite a few people have actually hightailed themselves out of there and have migrated to the rest of the country. I think there's thousands and thousands of people have arrived in Auckland. Auckland, a place where yesterday 86 babies were born. You know, apparently the city grows by about maybe 50,000 people a year, or something ridiculous like that. You know, it's not that enormous a city so far. I mean, it's still urban sprawl and things like that. We're not building upwards into these tight prison like mechanisms. You know, but basically like Christchurch, except with about four times the population. Christchurch is very well spread out, and apparently the public transport is, or rather was, very good down there by comparison to Auckland, where it'll cost you like $20 to go from one end of the city to the other, and in Christchurch it'll cost you $1 or something. You know, it's just the madness of urban planning has been focused on the building of roads. And now, in other news, we have our transport minister, forget his name, saying that, well, because we've done all this planning and we've done all this investing in roads, we have to keep doing more planning and more investing on roads. It's just like, oh, man. He must be building a lot of roundabouts because that's one heck of a circular argument. I don't, yeah. Well, supposedly the idea behind doing all this is so that you basically you squeeze people out of the ability to transport themselves to a larger extent, you know, because transport becomes expensive when it's not all mass transit-y systems, but you can only really do that kind of mass transit system when there is the population density for it. If you have enough people in the general area within, like, say, 10, 15-minute walking distance to the train station, that's about how many people you can expect to be catching the train. Well, you know, a few of them, or whatever. But you can't really expect people to be walking half an hour to go to catch a train, not when they can take their car and get to work in like 15, 20 minutes. Okay? That's the difference. And in Auckland, just like in LA, so I hear, you need a car. Bro, do you need a car? There is no possibility that you can't that you can survive in any kind of life without a vehicle in Los Angeles. You know? And it's starting to become that way in many, many, many places. And there's, on the contrast, where we talk about, say, the city of London, where my sister lived for, upwards of 10 years or something. She never had a car for nearly 10 years. Didn't have a problem getting around at all. Didn't have to take too many taxis. Far out, man. Their mass transit system and their tube stations and all of this kind of stuff, they are absolutely perfect. Especially if you want to stage a terror attack. Yeah, because they can get anywhere. But apparently the terrorists on 7-7 missed their train that morning and didn't get into the tube stations until a couple of hours after they were blown up. And then, of course, they were shot outside the tube stations as they were trying to escape the blast that they supposedly caused out of big explosions on their backpacks. Right. Speaking of big explosions, Tokyo water poisonous for infants. Like, it's poisonous for infants, but adults, it's okay. Hey, oh yeah, that's right. And here's the thing. When you're looking at somebody who's, like, wearing a shower cap and a breathing apparatus and, like, blue gloves and stuff like that, holding a machine, trying to stay as far away from a small child that he's scanning. You know, and the look on the kid's face is like, uh-oh. You know, the situation does not inspire confidence, does it? And of course, if they had been real honest with the Japanese people, they'd be evacuating within hundreds of miles or something along those lines already, and just declaring most of that main island there a dead zone where you will not be able to go and drink water safely or plant crops safely or do business or anything. It would all be radioactive forever. Nobody will ever get back there. Okay? That's the seriousness of the situation. It's the same with Chernobyl. You know, nobody can ever basically go there safely. You know, you got to minimize your exposure. You can't live there, that's for dang sure, and survive it very well. A lot of people have got debilitating diseases, and many, many people, some millions, apparently, it's been linked to their death. So this is what we're dealing with now. We're talking about one of the most technologically advanced countries in the world, Japan, having to face the prospect of being a dead zone. Yep. Dire situation. And by all means, freak out. And by freak out, I mean if you're in Japan, bug out. You know, you don't want to be there, man. Seriously. If you've heard the information that has been coming out through the alternative media, unless you're trying to be there for a specific purpose, like to be a hero or a media commentator or something along those lines, I'd think about leaving. You know, it's funny though, because I keep telling other people to leave these certain places and dangerous places, but nothing's happening where I am to necessitate me leaving where I'm going, right? So maybe I'm just some kind of hypocrite and I don't actually understand the gravity of the situation of what leaving a freaking country that you live in behind feels like. You know? Maybe I don't comprehend that, and maybe it's a heck of a lot harder than it sounds. It already sounds pretty freaking difficult. Especially with all these old, immigration policies with countries all over the place, refugee state. Oh, it's complicated, and you will probably need a lawyer, so it'll be also very expensive. You know, it's to the point of being prohibitive. Mm-hmm. The fallout from the crisis at Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant continues to spread, with excessive radiation levels measured in Tokyo's water supply and many countries now blocking imports of some produce from Japan. Well, blocking imports from Japan, I'd probably say that's a wise and safe move. I'd think about blocking flights from Japan, to be honest with you, out of certain airports, panning out a radiation test, because there was a plane that landed in the States the other day. There was up to five planes from Japan that landed. And, yep, they set off the radiation alarms. So it's quarantine-type situation. Here, you know, we're talking about a contamination that you want to minimize as much as possible. We now have New Zealand specialists that are over there trying to help out with the nuclear crisis that have been confirmed to be contaminated now. You know, and this is just the beginning. Apparently, the plant owner broke down in tears and said, you know, I can't cover up anymore. A lot of people are going to die from this. A lot of people. It's really sad when you think about it. Really sad. Yeah, the Japanese are very, very good people. I should know. I taught a few of them English. And, yeah. Fun-loving, very honest, genuine people. And they don't deserve this kind of crap to happen to them. And they certainly don't deserve their government to deny the reality to them. The Tokyo Water Bureau last night confirmed levels of radioactive iodine in some city tap water is two times the recommended limit for infants. Well, hold on. So they have a recommended limit for radiation? So it's therefore, conversely, is it recommended that kids have radiation? Oh. The United States have restricted dairy and vegetable imports from four prefectures. And Hong Kong is now banning imports of Japanese farm produce, meat, and seafood from five prefectures. Mm-hmm. France and the European Union will do the same. These radiation fears, I think they're very well justified. And what we really need to do is be launching a worldwide operation to get those people out of there. Okay, this is not a drip. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. We'll be right back in a moment.
I got some so-called friends. My right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh no, no. Oh no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. On the Vinnie Eastwood Show, I want to know which side you're on. We're always trying to figure that out. You know, it's a confusing world when you realize that each and every one of us is a little bit of dark and a little bit of light. Mm. Speaking of a little bit of dark and light, 3DS can reveal vision problems, specialists say. Now, this is a little Nintendo sort of Game Boy type thingy, but it's like 3D, you know? And some United States eye specialists are welcoming the Nintendo 3DS game service, dismissing the manufacturer's warnings. It's a 3D screen, should not be used by children 6 or younger because it may harm their immature vision. The optometrists say it is a good idea to get kids to try the 3D screen, especially if they are younger than 6. It will not do any harm, they say, and it could help catch vision disorders that have to be caught early to be fixed. You know? Do this dangerous thing for your vision because it'll help you. The 3DS could be a godsend for identifying kids under 6 who need vision therapy, said Michael Duenas, Associate Director of Health Sciences and Policy for the American Optometric Association. You know, I wonder what his financial ties are, you know? I really do. That's the thing with when you look at these media and the articles and things of that nature, you got to look at all these people and think about what they're actually talking about and whom would be very much at this particular point in time be benefiting from what they're saying. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some, 7 degrees of separation or somebody somewhere down the line could pay that guy some money. But never mind. The new handheld game device has two screens, like the DS machines it was designed to replace, and a top screen can show 3D images without the need for special glasses, through only new games will be in 3D. So, you know. But I was wondering this the other day, what does this 3D kind of stuff really do to your eyes? What does it do to your brain? I mean, does it mesmerize you? Does it turn you into some kind of a zombie? Can it hurt your head or something like that? I remember when I went to watch, I believe it was Avatar in 3D, and I came out and I was so dizzy. And sort of feeling a little bit queasy, and I don't know, my brain was fried. It felt like I couldn't think, my thoughts, my speech, it was all sort of delayed. What the heck was that? I thought, that's 3D, baby. Goodness knows the brainwashing capacity of that stuff, you know. I've been thinking, man, I should start doing my videos in 3D. Maybe people will get brainwashed into thinking that they're really powerful individuals that can go and ambush any scumbag they want and really embarrass them. You know, that'd be the society that I'd want to see. A whole bunch of really angry people walking around just messing with people who are, like, evil. You know, never letting them get away with anything and just turning them into one big bundle of fun. Oh, goodness sake. Speaking of bundles of fun, our old MP, Darren Hughes, the old ginge from the Labour Party, seen here with Prime Minister Helen Clark in a photo in 2002, says he's a sort of career in politics from an early age. You know, well, obviously, because he was like the youngest MP for like a long time, and now we had Gareth Hughes, interestingly enough, the exact same last name. He ascended him and became the youngest MP in Parliament. And now it's been ascended again to some douchebag from the National Party called Jamie Lee Ross, who's, I believe he's like 24 going on 40. And I was talking to an acquaintance the other day. And he said, well, I saw Jamie Lee Ross speak, and I'd give him an A for arrogant. I suppose that's what you really need to do when you become a member of parliament or something of that nature, because you don't really have anything of substance to you if you're a young politician, in my opinion. I think you need to actually go out and learn something about the world before you can really become what people would call a pretty solid politician, like somebody who actually has belief structures and has had success in their life and goes on. Whereas people who are young, I mean, we've got these student leaders and things like that, and they just go out there and try and campaign for stuff, and they're working on their careers, blah, 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 and nothing ever eventuates, so they just go into politics. It's kind of like politics is like the philosophy degree of the government branch. You know, can't do an awful lot with it, and you have to sell your soul in order to learn it. yeah. I suspect that. Yeah. Oh, now I would. I don't really want to rubbish this Darren Hughes guy. I mean, look. I don't know the situation, quite frankly. Whatever the heck happened to him at some nightclub or whatever, I've probably done the same, if not worse, and so have most other people in this country. You know, it's just because he got caught. You know, I suppose those are the people that we really need to keep an eye on, eh? The people who are dumb enough to get caught. No, I think we should probably be focusing on somebody perhaps a little bit higher in the food chain, you know? Perhaps somebody who's actually done something really, really effing bad that's kind of destroying the country and such. You know? But maybe I'm just a dreamer that I kind of like to vote for the underdog and expect them to lose. But just vote for them anyway, because I don't want to waste my vote by giving it to some scumbag who's just going to shaft me with it. Better to vote for somebody who's never going to get into power, because at least then they can't shaft you. You know, and that's what politics is about getting yourself into a position of trust. So everybody respects your opinion and thinks of you as their leader. And then you use that trust that they've put in you against them. Okay? And I think the same risk factor is true of many professions, not least of all radio. There's plenty of people in radio who've gone off the deep end over the years. And because people are just such loyal fans and they love their style and things of that nature, they'll follow any crazy old thing that they say, even to the point of following eugenics policies, as happens here in New Zealand on occasion with a man named Michael Laws, who recommended that they pay underprivileged mothers to not have children. You know? Come on, man. You know? Say that thing on national radio. Whatever. He even got sent a letter from a Māori school center, you know, like full of kids who collectively as a class kind of wrote a letter to him about how the letter H was really important to them and the sign for their town. You know, I mean, seriously, it's like Whanganui, Whanganui, whatever, you know, completely an idyllic but pathetic example for something to get in all in a huff about. And believe me, the media covered this a lot back when it happened. And he wrote them back a letter personally saying that, oh, well, you know, if they hadn't been born to drunken mothers and all of this kind of stuff. It's just like, oh, dude. And he still has a radio show. Yeah. Well, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, because he does say some very interesting and very thought-provoking things. But one can say that the more influence you have over other people via, a repartee or a history that you have, you know, oh, I've been listening to you for years or something along those lines, you kind of get this element of forgiveness. Now, I think that forgiveness is a good thing to have, but sometimes your suspicion is more important, because if you've got people who you suspect are possibly acting a bit dodgy, or taking advantage of their situation or anything like that, that is the feeling you should trust, not your loyalties, okay? Your loyalties is what you trust after you've mentioned your concerns to the person in question, okay? If they dodge your questions, then, of course, like I say, somebody dodges your question, it means that they're dodgy. And one thing I'd like to really kind of elaborate on is that media personalities and people that we sort of look at to inform us about what's going on in the world around us, we sort of rely on them to sort of do our research for us and provide us the meats for which we can eat and with which to get the nice juicy bloody info that we need to power these machines that are our minds. Understandably, though, it doesn't matter whom you get your information from, no matter how rock solid they appear, there's always cracks that can appear in the veneer. Mm-hmm. That's right. Every hero that you've ever had, you wind up inevitably finding out something about them that you don't agree with. And I think that is what has happened to humanity as a whole, is that we've got this kind of hero complex where we want to believe in somebody, we want to follow somebody, we want somebody to save us. I need a hero. Oh yeah, well, something like, you know. And the fact of the matter is, everybody's fallible. Everybody's potentially a bit of light, a bit of dark. Somebody will do something dodgy or abhorrent or something along those lines. You know, it happens all the time. And I'm not sure if it's something like faith that we have in our hero complex. I'm not sure if it is, because we in general, are pretty faithless society. And maybe nobody expects a hero to save them anymore. But when you see somebody who you really think kind of fits the bill, you try to believe in them as much as you can, and then you find out later on that they've done something very, very naughty indeed, and you're like, oh, no, not you too. You know, and it's like this great disappointment. You've had so much invested in this idea of having a trusted source and a savior. And my solution to this situation is, you assume that everybody's a bad guy. All right, you have to do that. I mean, I assume that I'm the bad guy, because if I thought that I was the good guy, it means I could justify doing any naughty thing in the sake of doing the right thing. You know. That's the flip off here. You can justify doing anything in the name of doing the right thing. But if you consider yourself the bad person, you simply have to keep watch upon what you're doing and see whether or not it fits in to what you think you are. All right? And therefore, you'll never become the good bad guy. You just be kind of a haphazard good guy. I think that's probably about as much as you can really expect from anybody in this day and age. A haphazard hero. Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I need a hero. Give me a haphazard one. You know, it's like I was wondering if having faith and another human being to teach me all that I know and do all of that is just really, really quite insane, frankly. You need about as many influences as you can get, I'd probably say. Everybody knows something that somebody else doesn't. It's the only way to learn it all is to talk to them all. You know? And what do you got to lose by talking to different people, learning different concepts? You don't have to believe it. You don't have to follow it. You don't have to do anything. Hey, heck, if you really, really, really get ticked off by it, you don't even have to listen. You can turn it off. You walk out of the room. You can do something, but it doesn't mean that that little radio commentator in the corner of the room isn't still broadcasting. You can't stop it. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio, and incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you with GorillaMedia.co.nz. Join us in the chat room at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We'll be waiting for you. Back in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Now, there's been a lot of talk about the absence of will. And, basically, there's a whole bunch of complicated things that go on behind the scenes. You know, he's and Will's been on for like 8 months, that kind of thing. And we started the show. I kind of thought for a moment, you know, Will's a really good mate and stuff, and he's a awesome truther. He knows copious amounts of stuff, and he'd be an awesome co-host to have here. And it turned out that I was correct, you know. And so I love Will. He's freaking awesome, eh? It's just like of late, things have been getting kind of a little stressful around the organizing of the show. I've been kind of snowed under with a lot of work, and Will's had his internet cutting off quite a bit, and it's just been one kaflurry after another, you know, real kind of difficult time. So that's why he's kind of absent at the moment. But you know, later on, I mean, I want to bring Will back on and talk about it all he wants, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, excuse me. I want to again talk about this this Japanese crisis and just you know, hear me out here. I'm thinking that it's like worst crisis that I've ever seen probably in my lifetime, you know. I mean, yep, nothing's been quite this bad since 1984. And I don't I can't fathom the level of risk that is out there for people right now. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm really deeply concerned, man. It's absolutely freaky to no end. There's people, it's like a world-changing experience, you know. It's not just life-changing by any means. And this is something that everybody is going to have to experience, you know, what it's like trying to protect yourself from radiation. Now, I wonder what it's like in the United States right now after the radiation clouds hit you. You know, and this the top story on gorillamedia.co.nz is George Heminger, interview that we had with him last week about the radiation cloud that's heading for the West Coast and has already hit. And the prospect of living with fallout. Going to be like, I mean, it's apparently what we're talking about here is a widespread worldwide contamination. You know, I'm not sure if I'm not 100% sure if New Zealand's totally safe, like our media is telling us. I mean, haven't had any experts on about this nuclear crisis to tell us just how the winds have worked and whether or not it's making its way to New Zealand. So I don't know, but we certainly know that it's all over Japan and basically within 20 miles of the nuclear facility, the readings are something like 1,000 or so up above it. And, you know, Israel is on high alert after a bomb has exploded in central Jerusalem. This is just breaking news right here. A woman was killed. And after the Jerusalem bombing near the central bus station, it was decided that the police forces throughout Israel will be on high alert and will move to level 3 operational activity. Goodness knows what that is. A woman was killed and over 30 were injured after a bomb exploded in front of the International Convention Center in Jerusalem. This was the first terror attack in Jerusalem after a 3-year lull. I wonder if Mossad had anything to do with it. Oh, sorry. It's just I'm just laying out foregone conclusions, aren't I? Sometimes, you know, it's like I don't fully understand any situation. You know, I don't claim to be the brightest person on earth or to have all the answers or anything like that. I mean, quite frankly, I'm just one guy trying to figure out what the heck is going on in this world. And I don't, and quite frankly, I'm just a little bit, I don't know, weirded out by a lot of the information that I wind up receiving, and people that I'm talking to often feeding me like incredible information, you know, and it's like my mind gets blown on a daily basis to the point where having your mind blown is a regular state of affairs, and it should be something that you should be capable of dealing with, right? Not so. In fact, it actually kind of even gets harder as time goes on. Because the more things that you learn, the more complicated the world seems to be, and the more crazy the reality starts to make sense to you. You know, that's the thing. Insanity is reality. Reality is insane. And perhaps that's been a great idea that some moron thought up. But hey, you know what we'll do? We'll make everybody just absolutely crazy by general convenience anyway. And then we won't have to worry about anything that's going on because everybody will just be so frigging nuts that it won't matter. You know, I think that describes our planet rather well. It's a bunch of freaking nuts people walking around having no freaking idea what the heck is going on, at the least, and by all means, having quite the difficult time adjusting to any sense of reality, because if you adjusted to reality, you'd actually then have to become completely bonkers. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally, VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. Second hour, we've got quite a cool dude, actually. I've been speaking with him a little bit lately. His name is Chris Hales. Now, if anybody knows what the word meta means, it's Chris, because he really does monitor an awful lot of information out there. Chris, welcome to the program.
Vinny, how are you?
Well, somewhat fabulous, mate. You know me. Always, always.
Always fabulous. And is Will there with you today, or is it just yourself?
That's just me for the day, unfortunately.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
We can cope. We can cope. So there's a conversation we've been having on and off for a week or so. And essentially what we're doing this morning is actually continuing that conversation, but we're going to have to go back over some ground, so you'll have to bear with me for the sake of the audience so that they actually crack onto what it is I'm trying to sort about, talk about.
Now, let's preface that by just explaining who you are, because we've just got a short segment here, and we're going to kind of establish you to everybody about who you are, what your experiences are, how old you are, et cetera, fire away.
Okay, not young, 50 plus. What I do, well, I'm actually self-employed in an aspect of the IT industry. My other main interest at this stage, and has been for some time, is, you could call it, let's work out what the frack is actually going on. And the way I go about this is actually something that I wanted to talk about today, because I've become aware there's a lot of people like me out there and a lot of people on this path, the same as you and I have been out there. And if your experience is anything like mine, it's actually quite a painful process, because there's a lot of adjustments you've got to make to the way that you think about absolutely everything in your world. This is painful. This is stressful. But there are ways of organizing the way that you approach it and the way that you process the information to hopefully speed you up the learning curve, because the problem we've got, Vinny, and we're running out of time. Things are coming to a head. And we've got lots and lots of politics closing in on us, and possibly a bunch of natural events closing in on us. So if we ever needed to work out what's going on in a hurry, unfortunately, this is it.
Well, that is about how many people should be thinking about it. And perhaps that time has always perpetually been now. That's my opinion, is that a good plan today is better than a perfect plan tomorrow. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, The Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you with GorillaMedia.co.nz, New Zealand's unconventional news. My special guest from Australia is Chris Hales, and we're going to be talking about working out what the frack is going on here. We'll be right back.
Must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, proudly brought to you with GorillaMedia.co.nz. It's the lighter side of genocide. Because if you can't laugh, you'll go friggin' nuts. My very special guest joining us from Australia. I've got an Australian joke, Chris, but I won't tell it in your presence.
That's all right. I've got some New Zealand ones, but I can't tell them at the moment.
Well, see, no, maybe we could trade one. I mean, you first. What's a Kiwi joke? Go ahead.
Gina, you put me on the spot.
Well, you know, I'll just lay down the relationship.
Lay down your Australian one, because I'm in the zone of what I was going to talk about just at the moment, and I should have written it down. I did think of it last night, and I should have written it down, but hit me.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're interchangeable, really. I mean, what's the difference between an Australian and cheese?
Don't know, Vinny.
If you leave cheese in the desert for 200 years, it develops a culture.
Okay.
Yeah. I got you,
yeah.
Man.
I'm probably. Look, the only New Zealand joke I can think of can't be repeated on radio, so I won't bother, but yep. Australia has a borrowed culture. You know, we're the land of convicts and imported people. Mm. And that's just the way it is.
Is your industry quite strong? I'd imagine it would be if it's run by convicts, because the rest of the world is
pretty strong. Well, look, you got to look at, for instance, China. You know, China. You could look at China as a slave labor society, you know. So their labor costs are cheap, they're competitive, so things are going well. Australia, yeah, convicts. We're all slaves of one sort or another in this world.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. And it's why we're here. What we're here to talk about today is how to get out of the open-ended grave that we call working in the rut. So, shall I proceed?
Go ahead. Fire away.
Okay. So, look, the reason, just for the audience's information, the reason that I've been talking to Vinny is that There's a larger and larger group of people out there who, like myself, have been raking around in all the muck that's thrown up to us in the form of information, trying to work out what the hell it all means. And now we all have our moment where we discover that the world isn't what we thought it was. And Vinnie and I had a quick chat about this, and I always call it the aha moment. Aha, there is something going on. I better look at this. And the problem we have these days is it's actually, aha, shit, something is really screwed. I better have a look at this, and I better have a look at it now. So there's a far greater sense of urgency about that aha moment than there probably ever was. And there's a far greater depth of information than there ever has been. Now, Vinnie, you describe your aha as being sort of a somewhat long, drawn-out process of small steps where you were progressively, you know, brought into the realization that things weren't as they appeared to be. Would that be correct?
Well, or either that, or I'd always assumed that things weren't as they appeared to be, and I just kept seeing evidence of what I thought.
Yeah, look,
and naturally progressed into a strong believer in myself and that the evils of society must be punished.
Exactly. So, well, look, however you arrive at it, everyone has a different process, different path. You know, there's a saying in martial arts, all paths lead to the top of the mountain. We all arrive at the same place. We just get there by different means. Now, I described to you my aha moment as really being from looking at one particular photograph. And as a photographer and because of other things I've done in my life, I looked at this photo and I said, holy shit, humans can't do that. We don't have the technology. Or at that time, I thought, we do not have the technology. How could I miss this? Because it was a crop circle picture, and I'd seen lots of pictures of crop circles from a distance, and this was a close-up picture of what was done at ground level in a crop circle. And if you haven't looked at any of these, go and have a look at cropcircleconnector.com and check out the ground shots. They are stunning. The stuff they do with those little bits of wheat could not be done by a human with a board and a string in the dark in a wheat field. Not going to happen. And that was really my aha moment. And after that, I really set off. And there are other aha moments, but that was the main one. And Vinny's, you know, as he said, he was just born this way and just got more convinced as he got older that he was right, which is perfectly valid. And then I'm going to use another example of an aha moment. Now, you're aware of Cliff High, aren't you, Vinny?
No, absolutely not. But I've stood on a high cliff before.
Well, it's not his real name. And I have a suspicion that's why he picked it, okay? Because of the sort of things that he does, if you don't deal with it the right way, you're going to fall off a high cliff. I don't know what his real name is. He's the guy who produces the Webbot reports, and some of you out there will be very much aware of the Webbot reports. And if you've listened to any interviews of Cliff High, and we'll talk about why one needs to listen to interviews shortly, but if you listen to an interview with Cliff about how he got to where he is, he'll describe his aha moment. And he got there because he was the original guy who devised web data mining. He is the data mining guru. It was his idea back in Microsoft in about 1993 or 4. And he's a linguist and a programmer, and, you know, I wouldn't be underestimating it by saying the guy's a freaking genius. But he actually worked out how to data mine from the internet linguistically and worked out how to interpret the data, and it turned out he could actually get a lot of information. So he actually left Microsoft, set up his own business, was going to make a killing on the stock market, tuned up his web bots because he managed to take some of the IP out of Microsoft, which I think is a freaking miracle, and I must find out how he did that. No one gets IP out of Microsoft. And he actually started sending his bots out, and he got back a whole lot of stuff that he just could not understand. And he says now he couldn't understand it because his worldview was wrong. Completely wrong. He had to change in order to interpret the stuff he was getting, because he was getting reference to extraterrestrials and to secret societies and all this other weird stuff he had no clue about. And he had to make a decision to change his worldview, or he had to scrap his project. And when he changed his worldview and started trying to read it as it appeared to want to be read, he found the world was a totally different place to what he thought. There were ETs. There were really nasty things going on in the background. And there were events coming up. And the reason his stuff is so interesting is that because all humans are slightly psychic, and because what he's doing is capturing human thought on the internet, interpreted through his system, he actually picks up, if you like, vague imagery, vague indications, sometimes very specific indications of future events. It's slightly predictive. It's not incredibly accurate, but it's very indicative of sometimes of timing, sometimes of events. And he says in his disclaimer, don't base your life around my stuff, or you're an idiot. This is just what I found, and, you know, do with it what you will. But in order to even make it work, he had to change his view of the world completely. And that's the aha moment for Cliff. Now, everyone who's out there who's listening to this, to one degree or another, has had that aha moment. And if you want to push on and find out what's really going on, here's my warning to you. It's not going to be pretty, okay? There is no particularly good news out there. There is some, but most of it is incredibly complicated. And without going into too long a rant, because I don't want to leave Vinny just sitting on the side here, the problem that we have here is that the situation you're diving into is the most complicated one there ever was. It involved everything that ever happened to our civilization up to now, what's happening now, and everything that's going to happen in the mid and long-term future. There's a huge volume of information out there. And I have to tell you now that there's a significant part of it which is complete BS. And it's been put there to put you off the scent, to actually put you in a state of fear and generally make the whole process of putting a nose into someone else's business unpleasant and make you go away. And the process of sifting through that information and staying sane and trying to get a laugh out of it, like Vinny does, is actually what I wanted to talk about, because being in the middle of it myself, there are certain things I've done, certain ways I've organized the way I think about information in order to stay sane and prevent my family from tying me down and permanently stapling a tin hat to my temples, because that was a severe possibility at one point before I learned how to disseminate the information. Because the other side of this, once you've gathered all this information, you're going to be bursting at the seams. You're going to want to rush down the street and tell everybody you hear that there are aliens, there are secret societies running the planet, that they want to kill half of us, and hell, we're going to do something. And first thing you're going to find, they don't want to hear it, because their worldview is not where yours is yet. And that is the bigger picture of some of the detail I want to talk about in the next little time I've got with Vinny. Does that make sense, Vinny?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I'm constantly coming up with that because it's such a confusing bunch of topics to really try and get your head around, right? Like, I've got to figure out everything that's going on in the world right now. And that, yeah. as a concept is such a difficult one to grapple, because that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to figure the world out, or at the very least figure out where I fit into it.
Yep. Look, it gets down in the end, if you wind your way through all this stuff, you actually end up back the same sort of question that philosophers have been asking themselves for, you know, ever since philosophers gave themselves an identity and a label, such as we like to do. What are we here for? That's the point you actually end up at. But that's a long trip, and there actually is significant information as to what we are here for, which I don't want to get into today, but it's actually part of this journey. And part of this journey is to realize that, we as humans at this point have a civilization that doesn't reflect what we really are. Okay, it reflects a reality that a small group of controllers want us to accept and to work within because it suits them. That's the bottom line. But to arrive at that point, you have to understand the mechanisms that have actually taken place over a long period of time and that are in play now and continue to pound on us and try and mold us into, if you like, the Borg. And Vinny and I have had the Borg discussion for their own purposes. And whilst they've tried to make it look, it's very much the Matrix concept. They've tried to make reality, something that we can accept without asking too many questions. If they made it too unpleasant, we'd fight them too much. If they make it too easy, we wouldn't be good little worker bees and use our energy to generate all the stuff they want us to do. And, getting to from where you are to where that point is not particularly easy, because there's just so much crap out there.
now they don't even need us anymore. I mean, they've got all the artificial technology and you know, robots and everything to do. They can just get everything done, whatever they want now. They don't even need human labor. And, you know, and now we're getting to the point where it's been talked about for years about the general extermination of humankind is now beginning. What do you think about that?
I think it's happening right in front of our faces. And, you know, if you ask my view, if you can't see it, you better start looking, because it's in your face. Depleted uranium, attacks on nuclear power plants, continuous war, diseases that could only have been introduced artificially, that are just too, you know, that are made up of DNA combinations that are just too unlikely to have happened in the wild randomly. The stuff they're putting in the food, the way that they're actually turning people into robotic watchers of you know, celebrities on TV, and that whole reality that's being created around this, that everything is fine, we've just got a few glitches. You know, there is a financial recovery in America. It's all BS. And in the end, it would appear, you know, to take the bigger picture, step back, look at the bigger picture, it would appear that the controllers have chosen to use a series of natural events which appear to be coming up. We appear to be heading into a period of solar storms which will generate earthquakes, okay, and all that information's been withheld from us. But they appear to be wanting to use that series of natural events to execute a cull. Okay, then the cull will be, you know, it'll be more than just natural events. They'll throw in some disease, some war, etc. But I think they're just using and manipulating events to suit their own purposes. And yes, it would appear that they've created almost an alternate civilization in the background, basically by stealing money from, you know, every government on the planet and stealing resources from every government on the planet to create whatever it is that they're doing. And yeah, at some point where we're either completely dispensable or at least partially dispensable, because it's too difficult to manage the whole lot of us. And the problem I've got is that if we wake up and say no thanks, they're done. Okay, that's the game they're playing. This is my worldview. Okay, I don't expect anyone to disagree to agree or disagree with it. It's my worldview.
Yeah, well, you know, it dovetails with my own. Is that,
yeah, you know, I had a feeling it would.
Well, you know, the truth is self-evident, as they say. That it if is. A society is being run by a small elite group, you would obviously see a small elite group running the planet. And when you look at who's running the planet, surprise, surprise, it's a small elite group. So what
Isn't
the heck
wonderful?
Is going on? And everybody's like attacking each other all the time, like going, oh, well, you know, you're sabotaging me. Blah, blah, blah. Mate, there are people with billion-dollar budgets that are aiming to kill you, and you're worried about me slightly criticizing perhaps one of your thoughts or theories? I mean, come on. We've got bigger enemies here.
Exactly. You know, it's the thing that makes me tear my hair out and want to pound my head on some nearby hard surface is just how obvious it is when you see it. And I'll give you an example of this, of an aha moment. A guy I've known for several years as an acquaintance is Egyptian, has family in Egypt. Okay, I've talked to him a bit about world events and stuff. When the Egyptian thing started to unfold, he actually said to me, I can't work out what's going on. I've got my family in Egypt and they're telling me all this stuff, and I said, it's not in the news and I don't know what's happening. I had to take him aside and actually tell him, nothing you see on the news internationally is what it is. It's all a total lie. And I started to tell him why, and I started to tell him what to look for in the news, okay, and what the overall game was. And I saw him about a week later, and he basically, the look on his face, he'd had his aha moment, because his family in Egypt, just a few little snippets of information. On the day the riots started in Alexandria, they actually were told by a local policeman that they know that the police got a phone call from headquarters to say, shut down the police stations, but first put your weapons away and go away. And don't come back until you hear from us. And they did that to every police station in Egypt. Then on that same day, they emptied the jails. And they had riots and fires dotted all over Cairo and Alexandria for no reason. They just appeared. And about a month before that, the price of bread had jumped from one Egyptian pound to 5 Egyptian pounds. So all the poor people who just scraped through relying on, you know, a bit of tourism work, et cetera, suddenly they weren't coping anymore. They couldn't buy food anymore, and they were getting really antsy. then a whole lot of young people, for no apparent reason, stirred up by Facebook and Twitter and all the other networking stuff that we've got access to these days, they all arrived in the main square in Cairo and did a dance for the media.
And, you know, hey, we're the slave monkeys. Look at us do our monkey slave dance.
Exactly. It was an entire setup. And he couldn't understand that. And he's stressed.
We'll be right back after the break, yep. Folks. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from Australia is Chris Hales. And we'll be right back very, very shortly.
Black sunrise, shadow coming over the sky. Black sunrise, always gonna be a surprise, 'cause we don't know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, proudly brought to you in collaboration with GuerrillaMedia.co.nz. And my very special guest, Chris Hales, joins us now live from Australia. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinnie. Thank you, Vinnie. And I'll just complete my little tale of Egypt with saying that the gentleman I was working with is seriously stressed by the experience he's had of having the rug pulled out from underneath him. And I'm back to basically, I don't want to tell him anymore until he's settled down a bit, because it's too much. And that's something you've got to be aware of in yourself when you go through the process of starting what I call meta-research. And you alluded to that right at the start of the show. And I'll define it in my own terms. It's a slightly different to its rigid meaning, which is in the case of, say, metadata, it's information about the data. What we're really doing when we sit and consume stuff from radio programs and blogs and the internet is we're riding on the coattails of people who are doing hardcore research or people who've had experiences and want to pass them on. So we're taking in information, by sound, by vision, we're reading, we're listening, etc. So we're meta-researchers. And then we're taking that, getting all excited about it, and we want to pass it on to other people. Now, facilitating that process is why I wanted to actually talk to you guys today, because the awakening is happening by this means. This is how it's being done. Okay, this worldwide awakening that we need is happening because people like Vinnie have got themselves to the point where they just have to speak out. And I've had that experience with my family. I've had to speak out. I learned also not to speak out and when to speak out. I'll talk about a bit about that later. But essentially, if we want to keep the worldwide awakening going, this is how it's going to be done. So the meta researchers out there like myself, the people who consume information from the alternate media, actually need to make sure that they don't become a victim of their own activities by just getting themselves so upset and confused that they don't know what the hell's going on. And any attempt that you make when you're in that state of mind to pass it on will fail. Okay, you can't give someone an aha moment. They actually have to give it to themselves. Only thing you can give them is information. So what we're doing is what Cliff Hyde does. We're mining for information and we're trying to sort it and sift it and find out the BS from the crap. And essentially, that's what you do, Vinnie. You know, that's part of your process, is it not?
Well, you know, I don't suppose I have a very sophisticated process or anything in mind. You know, I'm just kind of fly. I'm just kind of flying forward, and the universe can't stop me. So whatever comes at me is what I have to deal with yeah. whatever skills I've got at the time and whatever people are willing to help me. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm constantly adjusting to a new world day by day.
That is a really good point. And I'll just say one thing. I don't really care what process any particular person uses, so long as it keeps them moving forward in a positive fashion. What I was going to relate today was how I go about it, just to give key people who are struggling with this some structure, an idea of how to approach this incredible, you know, it's like standing under a wave crashing down on you, and you get into, you know, if you've ever jumped into a big wave and got pounded, you're inside a chaotic washing machine. It's chaos. And you've got to make some sense of it. And, you know, whatever moves you forward and what resonates with you, that's the way to go about it. So what I do is basically, and I can do this because I'm actually self-employed and I sit in my office all day going out of my mind, you know, doing stuff that you know, shoot me, but I have to make a living. And I like to listen to stuff. Now, I used to listen to music, you know, that got boring. I listened to talkback radio, and that got really boring very quickly. And then I had my aha moment, and it's never been boring since, because what I do mostly is listen to interviews, because that fits in with what I've got time to do. Okay, if you've got more time to read, then read blogs, be in forums. I listen to interviews, and it's actually a particularly valuable thing. And one of the reasons is because, like Vinny and all his colleagues out there who are actually putting out information, the range of stuff that you can hear is huge. And I'd encourage people to, if they haven't listened to a lot of interviews, if they've just been mainly looking at YouTube videos, looking at blogs, looking at forums, get into the interviews, because you get an incredibly wide range of really, really valuable information from people who write books, who do videos, that you don't have time to read. Because, as I said, we're out of time. And because this area is just so large, I've always found the interviews to be an incredibly valuable. And I know that Vinny's actually said to me that he doesn't particularly research. He just flies by the seat of his pants. And, you know, whatever works. And you know, it works. The humor is fantastic, because this stuff is just so depressing sometimes. You need it. So when I actually came across, the concept of, you know, the lighter side of genocide, well, I had to listen to that, I must say, Vinny.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I kind of, I don't know, it's just my way of looking at things. Anybody will tell you, if you hang out with me for any long period of time, you'll start to hear all these really, really terrible jokes. And for some reason, I'm the only one who finds them funny.
Because, I have that problem.
Yeah. Because the jokes are just that terrible. And for some reason, when they're broadcast on radio, they become funny because they're just that freaking terrible.
Look, if I was an alien observing the Earth, I'd spend more time on the floor rolling with laughter. Some of the things that we do are absolutely hilarious. You know, they look at the dance that we're doing, or I'm sure they do. Or maybe it upsets them, I don't know. We just don't know. We have no information on that. Now, look, I need to make some sort of a rapid summary of the process that I tend to use to sift, because sifting is the most important thing, because you've got to sift. You can't just absorb all this stuff and accept it, because there's so much lies going on, deliberate partial information distributed. Because the favorite thing the powers that be do is they sell a lie with the truth. They mix information and lies, and you know, they call it fact, and they shove it down your throat, and most people swallow it because there's enough truth to make the lie palatable. That's how it works. That's how debunking works. That's how straight out disinformation is carried out. You know, if there's been a UFO sighting, they just send in the debunkers who do all of these things. They put partially edited YouTubes on video. They put in negative comments. Oh, he's a fraudster. He did such and such. And you know, so there have been instances where they've created entire websites that are just fictitious debunking, to create division between people who are researching in this area. And they've attacked very successfully the UFO researchers in the United States. They're all over the shop. They're just a mess. You know, there's left-wing, right-wing, middle-wing, you know, little groups of people who believe this and other little groups of people who believe that. And they're really fairly ineffective when it comes to being a political force. They're still doing research and turning out interesting information, but they're not making a dent in the public because they're just too factionalized and too easy to shoot down because of the way that the powers be, you know, the techniques they use for deniability and just creating so much confusion, they don't know what's going on. So without any further ado, let me define meta, because meta just simply means, it means after, it means among, it means behind, but it also means information that describes information. And I've considered what I do as meta research, because I'm basically pulling it off prime researchers as much as possible. You know, Jordan Maxwell, Graham Hancock, you know, Brooks Adnew, Swerdlow, all of these guys that are out there putting their piece of the puzzle out for us to try and connect the dots. Now, the I have to preface this by talking about knowledge, because I want to. I've got some bad news for you guys out there. You actually don't know much by my definition of the word. To me, knowledge is the information you gain directly with your five senses from the environment around you. That is knowledge. Everything else is information, and information has a credibility factor attached, and a big part of the credibility factor is the emotional content that you attach to the source of the information. Okay, and this is what they use against us. They attach emotional credibility. They create, say, the news media. They've set it up since the Second World War as being your source of information. They make the news. You listen to it. They attach an emotional factor to it. That is, if you don't listen to it and accept it, you're an idiot. You're ostracized. It's a very simple example of how this stuff is manipulated. So in order to organize your information, you first have to accept the fact that we know very little. Okay, but we have a massive amount of information which we erroneously assign quite often to being knowledge. And you hear a phrase that really annoys me is that knowledge is power. Well, for a start, there's not that much true knowledge in your life when you look at it realistically. And knowledge or any information only has power when you use it. Okay? If I know something and I'm silent, most of the time, there's no power involved in that. If I care to use it, there's some power there. So how do you actually filter this great bucket of information that you get? Well, I've got basically three buckets. I've got a complete BS bucket, I've got a maybe bucket, and I've got reasonably reliable, and I'm going to go with that for the moment bucket. And as you said a minute ago, Vinny, you adjust your worldview on an ongoing basis, okay? That's what you've got to do, but you don't want to do it to everything you hear. You want to filter it first. And I think you'd probably agree with that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, it's like if I'm going to take action on something, like if the consequence is actually of value to me, then I'll actually go to the trouble of researching into something. But when it appears of little consequence and until I'm confronted with it, in the meantime, I've got lots of other things that I'm adjusting on that have the aggrieved status, as it were.
Exactly. See, yeah. and that's the Vinny filter.
Some things you already know, some things you figure out right away that you want to know more about, and other things you can just kind of accept them as information, and then if something else corroborates it on a later point, then you can take another look at it.
Exactly. Now, let's just classify a couple of words. People say they believe this, they believe that, and the word believe comes, it's extracted from a German word that actually means I wish it were so. Does not mean this is fact. This is truth. This is knowledge. It just means I wish it were so. Right? So we misuse that word and we attach belief, wishes, to all sorts of stuff. And what you just described is your Vinny filter. That's the way you deal with this tirade of information that pours in. And look, it's as good as any because it works for you. And it's up to everybody to work out their filter. Okay, the Chris filter has basically four buckets. There's the knowledge filter and the other three I just described. And the trick with it is, first of all, working out what goes in the BS bucket. Now, this is where the big D word comes in, discernment. Okay, we have to learn to discern what is probable useful information. I won't use the word truth because I believe it's misleading. You know, truth is a personal thing, and I can't tell you that I have found truth because that's only mine, and I can't tell you that it's yours. So it's just, if you like, reliable, probable information which will contribute to my current worldview, and if I get information to some other effect tomorrow, I'll modify my worldview. I'll go with the flow. Okay, Vinny, I had this discussion about the fact that this is such a chaotic situation. You actually have to learn to embrace chaos and be in it. And rather than allowing it to drag you down, use the energy it generates within you to move you forward like Vinny does and stay positive. Now, however you go about that is entirely up to you. But, you know, when you see something on YouTube and you go, oh, wow, that looks fantastic, here's what you do. You first of all check the date that it was put up on, because it could be 5 years old and actually irrelevant. Okay. Look at who put it up there. Look at the comments. Look at the content. Does it look edited? Does it look dodgy? Because sometimes the manipulations are so obvious, you know. And look at other YouTube videos posted by that person. Type the person's name and the word debunk or fraud after it into a Google browser and see what you come up with. These things only take a couple of minutes. And believe me, they can filter out an awful lot of crap. Just absolute crap. Because there are people, it's like there are graffitists on YouTube and graffitists on the internet. And then these aren't the powers that be, and they're not contributors. They're just there because they can wreak a bit of havoc and they think it's amusing. Okay, and hopefully that gene will fall out of the gene pool at some point, and these people won't breed too much. Am I starting to sound like the powers that be? And we won't get as much graffiti happening. But it is a real problem. You've got to be really careful. You know, if you run across a link and it takes you to a blog, whose blog is it? What's their background? What have they researched? Is it just a random blog? Is it a powers that be blog?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, well, this is the thing about looking at places afar afield with a different perspective, is that you can find out not only where they are, but where they've come from is just as important. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show from New Zealand, and we've got Chris Hales here from Australia, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab, and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
This is the Japanese radiation Chicago, theme song.
Breathe deep.
Everywhere, man. I fall on the deserts there, man. And I'm in the air you breathe, man. I've been everywhere.
Hey.
Yay. Sorry,
absolutely. You have to laugh or you'd shoot yourself, you know?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, the people out there who prefer a bullet to a cackle, I don't know.
One thing I can guarantee you is they've never thought about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe they
never thought about any of it.
Maybe they then deserve a bullet instead of a cackle. I'm like, nice laugh, you know. Why not? If it's the end of the freaking world, you can at least die with endorphins on your bloodstream.
Well, I'd rather die smiling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because, you know, there's a couple of shows I watch on telly, and I only watch them because they make me laugh. And I spend the rest of the time so stressed, I really notice it when I'm not. That's how powerful it is. So keep laughing, Vinny. It's really good.
All right, fantastic. Because I had somebody in the chat room tell me to stop laughing. I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, dear.
Everything is actually really funny when you look at it right.
It is. It's hilarious. When you look at the dance we're doing, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. Unfortunately, we're the biggest joke in the solar system, if not the universe.
Hey, you know? Yeah. A joke.
We got so conned, we don't know how stupid we look. Unfortunately, I was listening to a researcher the other day, a very serious researcher, you know, saying this and that, the human race, that and that. And I basically concluded the human race is stupid. You know, I laughed then.
Yeah.
It's really big, serious screed and conclusion, they're stupid. You know, they're just stupid. Look, it's not our fault. It's actually we've actually had some pretty negative things done to the DNA that have actually pushed us in that direction. So it's not entirely our fault.
Well, we've been purposely dumbed down, is what, you know. I mean, you know, they're right. We are stupid, and it's not by accident. It's by design. No,
absolutely by design. And you alternate between actually being sort of depressed, amused, and actually really angry. It's the sort of cycle that I go through. Because when I had my little aha moment, I was actually, more than anything, angry. Because I knew there had to be some sort of lies being told for this sort of thing to go on without us knowing about it.
Oh, yeah, it's an anger wrangler for Schissel.
Oh, yeah. Hackles go up on my neck.
Yeah.
You know, they want genocide? No problems. You first.
Yeah.
I'd love to be at the table of the panel of 33 and say, genocide, no problem. Lead from the front and just throw a gun on the table.
Yeah. Totally, mate.
Hey, go for it. You know, lead by example. Good general leads from the front.
Yeah, by all means. If you want everybody to slowly kill themselves, then why don't you just, jump the gun, as it were.
Exactly. Look, we have a parasitic infection. We've got sort of digestive tract worms infesting our society and sucking the life out of it. That's really what it gets down to. And we just need the remedy. And the remedy is actually just waking up.
Yeah, or cutting it off. No.
Look, cutting it off would be an interesting experience.
Yeah, well, imagine what would happen to the elite with all their resources and all their slaves and all their propaganda if the entire world just as one just decided to cut them off. You know, it's just like, bro, we're not.
You've actually hit. You know, as I said before, when they're revealed, the game is over. The word apocalypse, the revealing, terrifies the shit out of them because their apocalypse refers to revealing them.
You can't say that word on the radio. I know you're Australian, but hey.
Okay, I'll refrain. But it scares the crap out of them simply because it's the thing that will be their undoing. The apocalypse is not our problem. It's their problem. And it's the revealing. They use the media to spin it along biblical lines, just meaning, you know, big nasty event. No, it's them being revealed to us. It's their apocalypse, not ours. Okay, this is where they twist meanings of things to, you know, confuse us and lie, basically.
Of course, they're only really able to confuse us and lie to us because they've dumbed us down so that we'll accept their stupidity.
They missed a few of us, unfortunately, somewhere along the line.
That was what I was wondering about, these kind of broad genocide-type weapons, that kind of thing. I mean, because they would mostly kill normal slaves and people who aren't woken up to the truth. Because the people who are woken up to the truth will be better prepared, more likely to survive, that kind of thing. They know the sort of things to keep these megaviruses at bay, like silver and all of that kind of jazz. But unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time here. So, Chris, I'd just like to thank you very much and see if you've got any final words to sum up for us.
Okay, final words. Use the media as wisely as you can. I was going to warn you about a couple of things. Be very careful in forums, okay? They'll suck your brains out and you'll get incredibly distracted by a lot of people with possibly not good agendas. So pick your forums. Be very careful when you interact. Don't get too carried away with the information. The communication by text only is very, very novel. It's not a good way to communicate anything sophisticated. That's where the interviews are of value. There's been quite a number of instances where I've run across an interviewer, an interviewee, whom I thought was a complete lunatic the first time I heard them interviewed. You give them another few goes, understand where they're coming from, you find that at least some of their information can be incredibly valuable. You don't have to accept all of it, just some of it. But be very discerning. Make sure you actually get to the bottom of stuff. Don't actually stop at simply the appearance of the information and accept it at face value. You're done for if you do that.
Thanks very much, Chris, for coming on the show with us today, mate. It's been a pleasure.
No worries. Okay, Vinny, all the best to you and the viewers. And basically, don't stress out, okay, because if you do, they win. That's not what we're here for. Cheers, Vinny.
All right, cheers, mate. Thanks very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. I suppose you kind of listen in because, like Chris, you find it hard to get depressed when depressing information is followed by,
Right on. That's the way to do it.
To the Vinny Eastwood Show. We'll see you again sometime.
Cheers.